Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies earlier today. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway. Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Who's ready for a weekend warm-up? All right, our forecast for today, sunshine, not quite as chilly as it has been. High temperature, 52. Tonight, clear skies, another freeze. Overnight, low 30. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Should be a great Saturday, a little warmer. We'll tease 60 degrees. And then the low on Saturday night, down to the mid-30s. On Sunday, high in the middle 60s. That sounds like springtime, sunshine. Showers and thunderstorms are back with us on Monday. Monday's high 64. If you don't have our free weather app on your phone yet, no problem. It's great to have, and it'll keep you on top of the weather changes. Just go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
These are headlines from the Montgomery Advertiser Newsroom. I'm Wendell Jay. The flu has claimed the life of a Pike Road Elementary School student. Superintendent Charles Ledbetter said the third grader died this past Tuesday night. Pike Road will be offering grief counseling for students and teachers, and they've asked prayers for the little girl's family. Update on Zelda Road Taco Bell fire. Investigators believe the fire began in the northwest corner of the structure in a room holding electrical distribution equipment. The exact cause yet to be determined. On social media, a group upset about the loss of the store have planned a candlelight vigil for the Taco Bell. And three robberies from Montgomery crime mapping, one of a person in the 3600 block of Richard Street, a business robbery in the 2200 block of East South Boulevard, and also a business robbery in the 4600 block of Mobile Highway. All three robberies, guns were used. That's a look at your headlines from the Montgomery Advertiser Newsroom. I'm Wendell Jay.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACV Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. The hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, there ain't no doubt I love this land.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome aboard, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on Friday, TGIF edition. Let's see what the stock market is doing here. Stock market is down 97 points. Let me bring in the great producer, Bill Lynn, the one and only Baron Cohen.
Hey! I'm trying to be Joey. Hey! Hey!
It's Friday, my friends. You only have 3 hours left of enduring me, and then you're homebound, buddy. You are homebound.
No, I've enjoyed the heck out of it. It's always it's interesting seeing you do your show so differently. I learned so much in how you prepare and set up and everything. I enjoy sitting back here with
you. Well, good. I'm glad. I'm really glad. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing the clips and kind of talking to people and then talking around these stories. There was one story, by the way, if you're a first-time caller, let Baron, the producer, know, and we'll get your name in for the Fresh Market $50 gift card. We'll do the drawing next Wednesday. And also, if you want to be in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market, we'll be doing that drawing today, if I can locate the names of who Joey already had. He may have it in his phone, and if he does, then we'll do the drawing on Monday. How about that? Let's just say we're going to do it on Monday anyhow. I tell you, Baron, there was a story that happened out in California of a family that shackled and chained their kids. This is one, I'm just sat there in amazement. Oh, by the way, we're going to do legislature roundtable at 12:30, Mike Holmes and Clyde Chambliss. I sat there stunned. I didn't get to this story 2 days ago because of the snow. But the things that happened today and what we found out about this family is just unbelievable. Let's listen in. I've labeled this House of Horrors.
Prosecutors are revealing disturbing new details about years of alleged abuse suffered by the 13 siblings found captive in Southern California. It's their parents, David and Louise Turpin, who pleaded not guilty yesterday. The couple could face life in prison. David Begno is outside their home in Paris, that's southeast of Los Angeles, where people are leaving cards and gifts.
Bail for the parents has been set at $12 million each. Look, the alleged abuse here has been going on for years, according to prosecutors, dating back to when the family was living in Texas. The plan to escape was planned about 2 years ago. Prosecutors say one of the 17-year-old girls snuck out of one of these windows on Sunday morning, and she took another sibling with her, but the other sibling got scared and went back inside. But that didn't derail the plan. David and Louise Turpin appeared before a judge Thursday. David in chains. Both are charged with committing years of torture against their own children. He's accused of committing a lewd act against a minor.
This is severe emotional, physical abuse. This is depraved conduct.
Prosecutors say in addition to the beatings, the children were also restrained with ropes.
These defendants eventually began using chains and padlocks to chain up the victims to their beds. These punishments would last for weeks or even months at a time.
This is unbelievable. This is horrific. And what they would do is they'd bring these kids in and they would redo their vows every like year and a half or so.
Because the picture I saw, it looked like they were at a wedding ceremony with all these children.
Right.
So I didn't understand how that worked.
They were renewing their vows.
In front of whom?
Their kids. And Elvis Presley was one of them, one of the people that presided over the service.
But they would do it in their house? Would they take their kids in public after treating them like that? That's what I didn't understand.
There's an Elvis Presley impersonator doing one wedding thing that they did. There's actually video of that.
Golly.
That's pretty amazing.
Unbelievable.
But these talk about psychos. I mean, these parents.
You ever heard of a $12 million bail for anything?
This is unbelievable. Each.
Yeah, each. I've never heard of a bail that high.
This is unbelievable. Somebody needs to do a psychological profile on these folks to find out how demented they, what drove them to this. Let's listen to the second part of this story.
They allege the children were not allowed to use the bathroom, take more than one shower a year, or wash their hands above the wrists. They were fed very little, on a strict schedule, leaving them severely malnourished.
The 29-year-old female victim weighs 82 pounds.
The parents are also accused of taunting them.
They would buy food, including pies, leave it on the counter, let the children look at it, but not eat the food.
The 13 siblings have not been to a doctor in years, and they've never seen a dentist. They are still hospitalized, undergoing physical and mental evaluations that will take at least 2 weeks. Workers say their adjustments to society will be challenging, with some of the children even unaware of what medicine is.
They lack a basic knowledge of life. Many of the children didn't know what a police officer was.
The DA was asked if religion has anything to do with this. Was it in any way involved? And he said, not that I know of. Now, I can tell you there were journal entries that investigators found inside the house, and those apparently will be crucial in this case. John, interestingly, the family and the parents were awake all night and apparently slept all day. And apparently the malnutrition was so bad that the muscles on the kids were wasting away.
I cannot imagine that somebody would treat their family, kids like this. I mean, somebody do a psychological profile of this couple.
I mean, just routine child abuse is one thing. You know, you beat your kids or whatever. I mean, it's terrible. But this is a systematic approach to dehumanizing your own children that spans decades.
Imprisoning them.
Yeah.
And then some of these kids are so young that what they would do is she would be pregnant and they would birth another baby and then kind of add that child into the imprisonment. I mean, this is unbelievable. This guy was an engineer, too. Made $140,000 a year.
He left home and went to work every day.
And then he lost his job. And then they had the house registered as a daycare center, but it never went under inspection. This is incredible. And listen to the spokesperson, isolated, talking about what they did.
None of the victims were allowed to shower more than once a year. They would buy food, including pies, apple pies, pumpkin pies, leave it on the counter, let the children look at it, but not eat the food.
That is incredible. That's absolutely horrific. I mean, this is sounding like something that you would get in a concentration camp or something, where it's just mental, absolutely abuse. And that was part, if you've ever kind of studied, I'd actually gone to a concentration camp before. It was such a mental abuse that the Germans were doing against the Jews. They would literally make them dig a hole and then take the dirt and go fill it back up and then go dig another hole. And it was just, it was in their mind that everything was wasted. Everything, nothing made sense. And people would literally go in and throw themselves on the wire to get killed or try to escape because they wanted to be shot. This is such a mental abuse that it just absolutely is amazing. So we're going to see what happens with this. A reminder, we're going to have the legislative roundtable that will be coming up at 12:30. I do want to get into something that you guys were talking about, that I had a conversation with a member of Congress that confirms what he could tell me about this, but confirms a lot of pieces. This is Congressman DeSantis, who will be running for governor in the great state of Florida.
Classified memo that apparently shows that the FBI and DOJ abused its surveillance powers and is being called alarming and disturbing. This before Donald Trump took office. By some Republican lawmakers have called it that. Those are the ones that saw it. And now they want the information made public.
Including our next guest, who calls the report deeply troubling. Congressman, you had to go into that super secret SCIF room there at the Capitol to read it. And I know you can't really tell us what was in it, but you can tell us generally what it's about, right? I mean, your feelings regarding what is contained in it.
Sure. I mean, I'm reading it, and it's a very succinct, straightforward memo. And there were a couple times as I'm reading this thing where I'm just like shaking my head. You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe they did that. So I think it's something that is really significant. I think that the American people need to see it. There's growing support in the House to make this public so that the American people can see. And here's the thing. The memo's done in such a way where you can easily make it public. There aren't, it's classified top secret, but there aren't sources and methods here. So I don't think that would be a problem. Let's get that out there so the American people can see how this whole collusion thing was going on during the campaign.
Okay, so they classified it top secret, and so that eliminated a whole bunch of people to be able to see this document. The other thing is, this is one of the documents that they have been asking for since August, and Congress has not been able to get. Rosenstein went to Paul Rand Paul and tried to Paul Ryan and try to get him not to, to say you don't want to see the document. There's a reason for that. Rosenstein is mentioned prominently in this document as one of the go-to people that was dealing with this FISA and a lot of other information that's there. I think, and I agree with you, Barron, I think this is going to get released. The question is going to be the timing based on what happens with the shutdown, when the shutdown ends, how it ends, and things like that. They don't want to do any type of release during a shutdown. They think it would be bad form that would be there.
Bad form because it would get covered up in the media, or bad form because it would be like sprinkling salt on a wound?
Bad form in a sense that if government is closed down and that you're going in and you're basically, this is going to be seismic type thing is the way it's supposed to be.
I'm hearing it is absolutely one of the biggest releases in government history.
Right. This is big.
It's that big.
And I spoke to a person who had someone who had actually seen the document. They could not tell me all the things in it because there are some things that are classified, but they could mention some of the people that are mentioned, and this is going to be seismic, let's say.
I heard Schiff's name may actually be mentioned in there as well.
That was not mentioned to me.
Okay.
But several people in DOJ that we heard their name several times, McCabe, Rosenstein, people like that.
Good.
Comey.
Good.
I know.
I love this.
This may be the piece of the puzzle that's been missing here for a while.
Yeah.
Do I need to go to a break here?
It's about time.
Let's go to a break. News on 93.1 FM. We're going to play more DeSantis. This is some damning information and many, many players. We're going to be back.
27 years ago, I sat in this locker room just like you guys, on a knee getting ready to play a game. I walked down the locker room. It still smells the same. It takes you back real quick. One of the things that caught me was how fast 27 years goes by. There's so many people that live vicariously through you. I would give anything tonight to jump in one of these uniforms with you guys.
To do something I never had an opportunity to do. My father never saw me play.
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
At Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars, it's all about buying confidence and trust. For over 50 years, they've offered a great selection of the finest and best hand-picked cars in the area. These cars have passed a rigid multi-point inspection and are backed by proof pricing and the Jack Ingram Signature Car Stamp of Approval. What is proof pricing? That's Jack Ingram's best price, simple and clear, with true price comparisons from third-party leaders. And when it comes to saving you money, there's nothing better than seeing the proof. Choose from the largest selection of Nissan, Volkswagen, Volvo, Audi, and Porsche certified vehicles in our area, or shop hundreds of other pre-owned mates starting as low as $7,000. And if it doesn't fit in your garage or your spouse doesn't like it, you have 3 days to return it for a full refund. Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars has hundreds of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to fit your needs. And if by some small chance they don't have it, they will find it for you and deliver it to your driveway. Confidence and trust is a Jack Ingram Signature Used Car guarantee.
Come see me, Tip Thames, at Jack Ingram Signature Used Cars on Eastern Boulevard, or shop online at jackingram.com.
Where you live, it's where you belong. It's where you put down roots, built your business, and achieve your dreams. We started here, have grown here, and we're not going anywhere. We're as local as it gets, and we like it that way. We're not just a financial institution. Guardian is the local credit union. Think local, think Guardian. Federally insured by NCUA.
Mr. Sandman. Happy New Year! 2018 is bringing a lot of changes to the mattress industry, and Mr. Sandman must liquidate hundreds of fabulous mattresses from Soda, Beautyrest, Restonic, Jameson, and other factories to make room for new models. Because I actually stock hundreds of mattresses, when changes take place, Mr. Sandman has to wheel and deal to clear warehouse and floor space. We are also overstocked with adjustable bases, beds, and luxurious pillows. We still have a few sets left over from our fire sale for you serious bargain hunters. Our premium sets include Talalay latex, hybrids, and of course, numerous memory foam mattresses. We stock twins, fulls, queen, and king sets, and we'll sell odd box springs and mismatched sets. I will attend several shows in January to select my 2018 lineup, so I really need to liquidate much of my inventory fast. No interest financing and delivery are available. With around 90 models to choose from, amazing discount prices, and excellent customer service, it's a no-brainer to visit us in Montgomery or Millbrook for your mattress and headboard needs. Mr. Sandman Mattress Superstores.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1. WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. You guys are asking, where is Joey? Joey is under the weather, so Baron Coleman has been kind enough to sit in as producer par excellent and help me out for today. So Joey's still under the weather. Hopefully he'll be back in the saddle on Monday. Let's continue with this DeSantis on some really damning information, and many players are mentioned here.
Can you say this? Does it help us answer this question? Did the Obama administration use intel from the dossier, from Chris Steele specifically, to surveil Trump officials?
I think that's one of the central issues in the memo, and I definitely want all Americans to be able to read what actually happened in that respect.
Okay. Is Paul Ryan going to, is he for releasing this at this point?
I think he will, but, you know, the speaker's done a good job pressing. Remember, Rod Rosenstein fought tooth and nail to not produce this information to the Congress, and we were thinking about, well, why would he have done that? And I think it's because there's information in there that doesn't make either the DOJ or the Bureau look. And this is not the whole DOJ or the whole Bureau. This is a select cast of characters. But Paul Ryan stood up to him and said, no, we got to get it. So I think so. And here's the thing. Remember that Peter Strzok text message where they're in Andrew McCabe's office with Lisa Page, and he says, you know, I'd like to think what you said that Trump can't win is true, but I'm afraid we at the FBI can't take that risk, and we need an insurance policy. So as I'm reading the memo, I kept thinking back to that text message, and is this investigation the insurance policy because somebody like Strzok wanted to keep Trump out of the White House?
There we go. And Rosenstein, who I understand is mentioned in the memo and is part, is kind of part of it, is really he may actually get canned, I think, out of this whole thing. Let's just say it may be difficult for him to keep his job. And then that would open up the person who would have the oversight over Mueller. That would be...
Now, is the deputy... What is Rosenstein's
title? He's the Deputy Attorney General.
Okay, so he is the Deputy Attorney General an appointment of the Attorney General? Or is it an appointment of the President?
It's an appointment of the President, confirmed by the Senate.
So the President would now be appointing his own head of the investigation.
Because Jeff Sessions has recused himself.
Correct, yeah. And it is a Senate confirmation vote.
It is a Senate confirmation vote.
Well, that's
good.
That's the fallback. Hey, you guys don't like him, you get a chance to vet him.
Yeah, and what they may do is they go, well, we don't want Trump to pick the person that's going to be in charge of the Mueller investigation. And that would be their argument. So then he goes, okay, well, I'm going to put an interim in there.
Yeah.
That isn't going to have Senate confirmation.
Well, prior to confirmation, though, who does the investigatory oversight fall to?
That would be interesting because it can't go to Jeff Sessions.
No.
So it would have to go to
whoever,
somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be having some low-level middle manager now
overseeing Mueller.
Yeah, and was that guy appointed? And by whom? And
was he confirmed? Mueller was appointed by Rosenstein.
Oh, I understand that, but whoever's going to be over Mueller now, was that person an appointee?
Well, who's over it now is Rosenstein.
I understand that, but if Rosenstein's out, now you have a new person.
Yeah, and the only thing it would be is it'd be an interim, I would think. That would be appointed by the president.
But I'm saying until there's the appointment made, from the moment Rosenstein leaves until the new...
Yeah.
Somebody has to be...
Yeah, I'm not sure who it would be.
I don't know either. That's wild.
I know.
Boy, this is the greatest timeline ever, Dan.
I know. I tell you what, grab that. When you were talking about the Stormy Daniels being spiked by Fortune magazine with Trump's picture on it, I had to pull over on the side of the road for that one. Let's go to Papa B. Papa B. Papa B. Welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey guys,
how are you?
Boy, I tell you what, I hadn't had so much fun since I was possum hunting in a hayfield down in Greenville, Alabama, when I was a kid, watching these Democrats start to squirm. This is fun. This is fun.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, I think you're probably 10 days, 12 days, depending on the government shutdown, 10 to 12 days away from this.
Well, I was telling Barron on his show that, you know, they're handling it just right. They're just doing the slow roll of information out, trickling it out, because if you did it all at once, if you got all this information out at once, it'd just be too much to even get your arms around to understand what all is going on and who all these players are, you know. So if what I'm hearing is right, there's a lot more coming.
Yeah, and I mean, it, you know, when I said over a year ago there's going to be an investigation of the investigation, and but they had to be very slow and very methodical, because you're talking about taking out some big players. You're talking about taking out an acting FBI director. You're talking about taking out a former FBI director, a deputy to the attorney general, the legal counsel to the Department of Justice. I mean, you're talking about some big boys here. Several FBI agents. Several FBI agents. Like five.
You remember the new movie Gladiator?
Mm-hmm.
Russell Crowe and the guy that was co-starring with him told him that before he kills him, they have to kill his name. You have to, and I think there was something like that on Gangs of New York, too, where you have to really... You have to kind of defame somebody before you can take them out like that, you know, or at least show, you know, the truth about what they're doing.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Is you've got to have the evidence, because you're talking about something really big. Because what you're talking about are corrupt FBI agents. You got the Hora, the big boy within the FBI, seventh floor level guy whose wife is working for Fusion GPS. I mean, that is right. Really, really big.
Well, and if I have heard right, then it goes a lot higher than this. So we shall see what all is coming down the road here, but I think it's going to be, when the American people, if half of what I think, if I've heard, is coming out, which who knows if it's verified or not, boy, I mean, the American people are just going to be smacked upside the head with some of this stuff, and the Democrats are going to be in deep, big poo-poo in a big way.
Papa B, you have a great day. I got to go. Chris, hang on for me. I'm going to try to get to you before we start legislative roundtable. Let me go to a break. Dan Marsh Show on Friday, TGIF edition.
You say that it's over, baby. You say that it's over now, but still you hang around. Now come on, won't you move over? You know that I need a man. You know that I need a man. But when I ask you to, you just tell me that maybe you can.
Giving voice to liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. The threat of a government shutdown is now less than 12 hours away.
White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney says if the government does close down, it will be different than the last shutdown in 2013, which he claims the Obama administration weaponized.
Fannie and Freddie will be open. The post office will be open. The TSA will be open. But again, all of these people will be working for nothing, which is simply not fair.
Republicans argue the Dreamers can wait because the program protecting illegal immigrants brought to America's children doesn't expire until March.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland, Democrats threatened filibuster if there was no DACA deal. The defense secretary says any government shutdown has a negative effect on the military.
We do a lot of intelligence operations around the world, and they cost money.
Those obviously would stop.
Jim Mattis addressing the John Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies earlier today. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Wiley Sanders Truck Lines. There's been a recent increase in pay, plus a $1,000 sign-on bonus for regional and over-the-road drivers. Visit WileySanders.com. Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Who's ready for a weekend warm-up? All right. Our forecast for today, sunshine, not quite as chilly as it has been. High temperature 52. Tonight, clear skies, another freeze. Overnight, low 30. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Should be a great Saturday. A little warmer. We'll tease 60 degrees. And then the low on Saturday night, down to the mid-30s. On Sunday, high in the middle 60s. That sounds like springtime. Sunshine. Showers and thunderstorms are back with us on Monday. Monday's high 64. If you don't have our free weather app on your phone yet, no problem. It's great to have, and it'll keep you on top of the weather changes. Just go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Live local talk. The River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Let's go to the phones and go to Chris. We're about to start legislature roundtable. We're waiting on Mike Holmes to get in the studio. Clyde Chambliss is on hold for us. Let's go to Chris. Chris, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, guys, real quick. You kind of hit the subject I want to talk about, is that there's reports showing that the FBI actually paid Fusion GPS for this dossier.
That is not in this memo, but that has been alleged. Congress has asked the FBI, did you pay for it? They have not answered yet. But the guy that they were asking the question was Rosenstein.
Right.
That was not the right guy to, from what I understand, he's not the right guy to ask the question because he's got something to lose.
That's exactly right. And the other thing is Chuck Schumer said that if you mess the intelligence or the deep state, they'll get you two ways to Sunday or whatever he said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just only proves that they got something to hide. I mean, we got unelected people running this country, and it doesn't matter what administration's in or out. They are truly running the country. And the worst thing that could happen is, of course, the FISA warrant, the FISA stuff, they've renewed it, which, you know, at this point, knowing what we know now, it should have been halted. But of course, they got everybody by the short hairs because they say, well, if we don't renew it, then if a terrorist attack happens, you're responsible for it. And that's going to continue on down the road until someone puts a stop to it.
Yeah, my problem was when in 702, if they go beyond foreign people talking to Americans and not unmasking Americans, and if you're going to have American involved in it, you need to have a warrant. It's my deal. I think that this may create that opportunity for discussion. Also, one other thing, Chris, not only was the FBI paying Fusion GPS and Steele, but Obama for America was paying for it also, and the Clinton operation.
Well, you wonder why there is so much targeting Trump at this point. You know why. I mean, I was always hoping he would just flip over the table and let everything fly. This could be the first salvo.
Let me tell you,
it needs to be done.
This will be somebody taking the table and just flipping it over during the game. It will change. Yeah. It will change everything. Chris,
Trump mic drop.
Yeah, I like that.
See y'all later.
Thanks. Angel?
Yeah, Dan.
How are you?
Fine, and yourself?
Doing great.
Hey, listen, you know, since Trump is the target of this of the dossier and all, I just don't understand why Trump, who has the authority to declassify the memo, just declassify it and let the public see it.
Well, you can go see the memo. There's 45 pages of the dossier that's it's online right now.
I think he's talking about the memo and the skiff.
Oh, whoa, no. It's
right.
No. What's going to happen is Congress, and this is the way you want it to happen. You want Congress to do this, and it's going to go through the Intel Committee, and I dare the Democrats to vote completely against this thing. I dare them to do that.
you dare them, but you know they're going to. Well, they're not going to expose themselves. Yeah,
the interesting thing is they don't have a majority.
They can't stop it, so they why not join in?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. But I just don't see why the president says, hey, listen, I'm going to reclassify this or unclassify it. It's done.
Yeah.
Finished.
Well,
good finger in the eye of the Democrats.
Yeah, again, you want this to happen in the House. You want Paul Ryan to get it where they do it the proper way. The Intel Committee releases it. It goes to the whole House and it's made public.
I hope it happens, and I hope it happens soon.
Me too.
Enjoy your show, Dan. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. You have a great day. Newstalk 93.1 FM. Let's bring in, even though Mike Holmes is not here, I expect him to be walking in the door any moment. Let's bring in Senator Clyde Chambliss. Clyde, how are you?
Hey, Dan, how are you doing?
I'm doing extremely well. Let me ask you the question that I asked our roundtable guest last Friday. What's the tempo and the tenor down at the Senate now?
It is, well, first of all, with Governor Ivey coming in and steadying the ship of state, it is much better because of that. And we've got a really great working relationship. Our legislative leaders are talking with her almost daily. That's a tremendous difference. And then, obviously, we're going into an election year, and legislators need to be out and among the constituents. There's a tenor of let's get the people's business done early and not wait till the last minute to do budgets, which we've kind of gotten away from that track, as you've noticed over the last few years. Anyway, we're going to do them early this year, hopefully, and then get out among the people. But I don't think we'll finish more than a couple, 3 weeks early at the very most. So
you're still talking. If you finish 3 weeks early, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I think it's very possible we're done by the end of March, something like that, 1st of April, somewhere in there.
When is spring break, AEA?
I don't know that we've even scheduled it yet. We're hopefully just going to work through and not have it and just be done. Of course, that saves us a week right there. So if we finish 2 weeks early and don't take a spring break, then there's your 3 weeks pretty easily.
Wow. Being on the Finance Committee, tell me how you feel the budget is coming along.
The first thing that's very important is that the governor's budget didn't have any surprises in it.
Mm-hmm.
She worked with our legislative leadership, our budget chairs, back and forth. They worked through a lot of issues, and then when she presented her budget, it's, we kind of expected, what we got. So That's always a good start. When you get a big surprise right off the bat and something comes way out of left field, it just kind of upsets the apple cart. It's a good sound start for where the budget's at now. The general fund will start in the Senate this year, and the education budget will start in the House.
Mike Holmes just walked in. Let me bring in Mike. Mike, welcome to the Dan Moore Show. How are you today?
I'm great. Just running a little late. I apologize for that.
Not a problem at all. I just asked Clyde, what is the tenor like in the Senate? What is it like now in the House?
It's been amazingly smooth and cooperative so far. It feels really nice. A huge surprise. I just got in on the tail end of Senator Chambliss talking about the budgets and where they are. On the second day, I believe it was, I came into my office and laying in my chair was the appropriation bills for both budgets on the second day.
Yeah. How many times have you seen that?
3 years I've been there, I've never seen it. It's usually the last thing, when the last week or two. So that was encouraging. Obviously, there's a lot to get into there. I've been able to attend those hearings beforehand and heard a lot of the reasons why and what the plans are from our chairman in the House of Education Trust, Bill Poole. So, I feel like we're off to a good start. It was a very colorful ceremonial opening and then followed up this Tuesday of this week with a Veterans Memorial Day in there that was very impressive, with two Medal of Honor winners from Alabama were available. The other one was not able to. We have three alive, and the other one was not able to attend, but very colorful, very meaningful, patriotic ceremony. So I feel like we're off to a good start.
Let me, for both of you, in looking at this, you said the tenor is much better than it was last year.
I agree.
And is there a camaraderie that's kind of starting to come in, particularly among some of the House and Senate members that are not seeking re-election?
That's probably a good description. I think there is. There's camaraderie there, and there always is. It gets tense at sometimes, obviously, when you disagree and you're fighting over some points. But no, I think it's been very cooperative so far.
Clyde, well, you present. Go ahead.
Let me back up and talk about one other thing that I think is affecting the mood of the legislature.
Please.
For the first time since in this quadrennium, we actually had a fall. We didn't have a special session last year, so we were able to work, watch football on the weekends, be out and among our constituents in our district. So when we came back to town, what I sensed was a refreshed body, people that weren't tired. Mm. Special sessions, I mean, they just drain the energy out of you, even more so than a regular session. But we've had an average of 2 sessions per year since we've been there. And that includes only having one last year. So having that fall off to recuperate, you know, we're all kind of ill when we're tired. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to negotiate and compromise and you're ill and tired, it just makes it a little bit difficult. So that's the first thing I sensed in those budget hearings that Mike was talking about is that everybody looked good. You know, the bags weren't under the eyes, and you know, everybody's staying awake through the whole meeting, and everybody's refreshed, and that makes a huge difference.
Amen. I think there is a lot to that.
The one of the bills that has been dropped is a bill that is taking basically probate judges out of the marriage business and not doing the marriage license. Tell me, for both of you, what do you think about that piece of legislation?
Well, I'll start since that's the Senate bill. We've actually passed that bill 4 times in the Senate. And I have mixed emotions about it. Absent the courts getting involved, I would probably lean towards leaving it like it was. But when the courts get involved, they've just created a mess with it. So it in my opinion, was okay. Let's just go ahead and go in and totally separate church and state, and the church will be involved in the ceremonial and the religious aspects of it, and then the state will be involved in the recording and the permanence of the documentation going down the road. So it's really not something that I'm real excited about, but unfortunately we have court cases that that are affecting our law and what we need to do.
Mike, how say you?
I have not read the bill yet. Since it's a Senate bill, I got plenty on my plate that I've got to read for Judiciary Committee, and we've had a full load already this year, so I've not even read the bill. I've heard some scuttlebutt and talk in the hallways, and Clyde's pretty much told you everything I know about it. That is a pretty dramatic change, and it's been tried before. So I'm on the fence. I'll have to do some more studying before I'll decide.
Last year, when it came out of the Senate, voted on it for 4 times, and it cleared the Senate, did it get telegraphed to the House, Clyde?
Oh, yes, and you know, it just gets, you know, I think last session it got hung up toward the end of the session with all the things that happened. And
I don't think it made it out of committee again.
And likewise, that I'm not pointing fingers at the House. There are a lot of House bills that get hung up on the Senate side. It's the nature of the beast when you have 1,500 bills and a limited amount of time. There's only so many that can get through the process.
Let me do this. Let me go to a break. When we come back, Dan Morris Show, Mike Holmes, Clyde Chambliss in the house, Legislature Roundtable. We'll be right back.
And baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Brewmaker Motors, it's winter. Oh, the weather outside may be frightful, but the deals inside here are delightful. Besides, it will be soon very warm. Amelia Earhart said, "The most difficult thing is the decision to act. The rest is mere tenacity." So be tenacious this month and come on down to Brewmaker Motors for a luxury Infiniti, the QX QX30 subcompact SUV or its opposite, the QX80. Big enough to carry just about anything you want to carry or pull in style. Our Prattville and Montgomery Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram stores, along with Fiat in Montgomery, trucks, trucks, trucks. Jeeps, Jeeps, Jeeps. Lots of Pacifica minivans, Dodge Chargers, and Challengers, all at the right price. Or Kia, the value proposition in the 2 years in a row J.D. Power's initial quality renter. Now with the 365-horsepower Stinger sedan arriving now in our showroom. The fantastic SUVs, the Sorento with the third-row seating, and the compact Sportage SUV, or the value price Forte sedan. All this and great service and parts only at Brubaker Motors.
Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Dave?
Has joined the conference.
Couple of important things to go over today. First, someone parked in my space again. But don't worry, I've had you towed and you're fired. Oh, also, we posted record profits and I got a nice bonus. But sadly, nothing left for you guys. Okay, gotta go.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
Student loans, credit card payments, payday loans. I felt trapped by all the money I owed. Then I heard about debt consolidation from ASE Credit Union. It was such a relief to have someone help me figure it all out. Whether it's a lower interest loan or a zero interest credit card, ASE can help you get out of debt faster and lower your monthly payments. Say yes to ASE. They're your goals. ASE is your credit union, federally insured by NCUA, equal opportunity lender.
HGTV's Eric Stromer.
Hey, everybody, this is Eric Stromer, and I want you to make sure to listen to House Does with Dale. That's my boy down there in Alabama, and if you don't listen, I'm going to get real, real mad at y'all.
You never know who Dale will talk to unless you listen.
Make sure you tune in each and every week, or I'm going to come after all of you with a 2x4.
1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out.
House Studs with Bobby T and Dale Johnson, Saturday mornings at 10 on News Talk 93.1 WACV, the voice of Montgomery.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
.27292228, that's where we are. Mike Holmes, Clyde Chambliss, Legislature Roundtable. Let me play a clip for you gentlemen here about ride-sharing in Alabama bill. Sorry.
The mice, you got to feed them.
We're talking about those ride-sharing services like Uber or Lyft. Some cities have already approved their use. Now, state lawmakers are considering a bill that would legalize the services statewide. The Senate is addressing the legislation first. The bill just recently passed out of a Senate committee. It now goes to the full chamber. Supporters say the bill would minimize confusion city to city and bring Alabama in line with most of the rest of the country. But some other lawmakers say they still have some reservations, mainly about safety.
My major concern at this point is the misrepresentation of drivers, misleading citizens that they are Uber drivers.
So that's why it's so important for people to check their app and say, okay, well, the car en route to me that I see right over there matches what I'm seeing in my phone on the license plate, the driver information, the car type, all of that.
Political reporter Michael Downey is joining us with more from the legislature. He's just outside the State House. So, Michael, are there any plans to address the safety concerns that those lawmakers have?
There are. Actually, in this current version of the bill, it would make it illegal to actually impersonate an Uber driver. However, that penalty right now would only be a misdemeanor. Senator Smitherman, who you just heard from a little while ago, he would like to see that penalty increased a little bit, maybe try to do away with some of that extra concern, maybe create a little bit higher of a punishment for someone actually doing this sort of impersonating an Uber driver. But at the end of the day, there's only so much that a law or the state legislature can do. You're likely going to have to use a little bit of common sense, check exactly what's on your app and also what's happening in real life to make sure those two things match up so you don't get caught in one of these unfortunate situations.
Gentlemen, how say you on this piece of legislation? Is this a good thing, bad thing?
Uber's there, and their competitors are there, so we might as well learn how to live with them, and I think we do need to get some order in there. However, I go back and look at the private sector that we've let handle this for how many years, hundreds of years probably, way back with horse and buggies before we had automobiles, but what kind of background checks did they do back then? So there's some part of me that says it's free enterprise. If we can get some direction in there that can make us feel safer, that's wonderful, but I think we're going to have to deal with it. It's a fact of life.
Clyde, how say you?
Yeah, it's just a sign of the changing of the times, and competition is always good. Competition makes us all better. Competition's what makes our free enterprise system work. But we do need to make sure we have the proper controls and balances, and especially in this day and age, just make sure that people are safe. I'm pretty sure, although I've not researched it, but I'm pretty sure they do some type of security type clearances for cab drivers, and they at least know who they are and get driver. You know, there's some type of process you go through there as well. So we would need to do that on this, if not even more. And might need to look at both of them, make them both the same, whatever they are.
I haven't seen this bill, but one thing I think that you need to look at is look down line 5 years, 7 years from now with driverless cars that are picking people up that are completely computer driven, that this does not leave some hole that could end up to be bad if that does come to pass, which I believe it will, from all these things I'm reading through my organization, and so just where there's not a loophole in this.
I think that's going to be important. I think one other thing we haven't talked about either is we've got several cities in Alabama that already have a contract with Uber, and one of their competitors, one or the other. So we have to deal with cleaning that up, too, so that we're in compliance there. So, yeah, I think we have some work to do, but, again, I think it's a fact of life that we're going to have to get used to operating with.
Let me get to Medicaid. The Medicaid number seems to be much better this year. Do you two attribute that to unemployment going down and the economy ratcheting up?
I don't. There is some small effect from the economy because, if there are people that are eligible for Medicaid and they do have jobs, so they may not go on it. But for the most part, it's the decrease in prescription drug costs. Last year, it was, I think, $32, $35 million less than what they anticipated, and they feel that that's going to go forward. So it's both of those together, but primarily the reduction in the prescription drug costs.
I agree with most of that, except I do think the
going from 5 to 4.1. I mean,
lowering of unemployment is dramatic, and there are a lot of people on Medicaid, or excuse me, any of the aids, Medicaid, and all the other social programs that would like not to be. And if you give them a chance with a decent job that they're qualified to do, I think we'll pull some of those over, and I think we're seeing some of that too.
Both of you are my financial hawks here. Excuse me. What happens if federal government closes down, which I believe it will be tonight, and the CHIPS program expires, which I believe it will expire in, I think, 12 to 13 days in Alabama? How is Alabama going to handle that? If they come in and don't do the patchwork of it, is there a plan B out there?
Not that I've seen. Maybe Senator Chambliss has seen one, but I've not seen one. And I think it looks like that's where we're headed. I know when I was driving over, the president had just set up an appointment with Schumer that they were having some sort of top-level meeting. I think their trenches are pretty much dug and the line is drawn, and I don't see them coming up with a last-minute deal. So it looks like it's inevitable. I don't see... that it's going to be an immediate impact on a major scale. There obviously are some issues out there, but I think things are pretty much going on the way they have. And there have been some preparations made this time that weren't made in past shutdowns. So I think the pain will be minimal. It should get worked out fairly quickly.
Clyde?
We've made some provisions trying to look forward to this happening, if it does, worst case scenario. And as you all say, it's possible, maybe even likely. So we did carry over the $93 million last year. We do have some excess funds that weren't spent last year. So I think we have in the $120 million range, carry over that, you know, obviously we would love to use that in next year's budget, but it's not an ideal situation, and we'll have to really tighten up in a lot of areas if that comes about. I think the number's anywhere from 60 to 70 million. It's going to be very difficult if they don't extend it. I did notice that the House has the U.S. House has extended it. And sent the bill. It's actually a 6-year extension in the bill that's before the Senate now.
Correct.
So if they can find a way to work through it, then that would give us some certainty going forward.
If you had to use that money, would that mess up pay raises for state employees and
yes, sir,
and teachers?
It certainly come into
yes,
play.
Yeah, yes, sir.
And this is going to be a priority, so it's likely to impact that. Yes.
It'll impact pretty much everything, corrections, mental health that we're trying to increase, Medicaid. It'll impact everything.
I had spoken to Bradley Burns. Bradley Burns was in studio, and I'd spoken to Mo Brooks recently. He felt that it was going to happen, but he also didn't think that the government was going to be shut down the way it looks like it's going to happen today. Is anybody looking at insurance and health insurance for the state of Alabama to try, if Obamacare implodes, what we're going to do? Was our plan B?
No, I've not seen any form of legislation being brought forward.
Has anybody talked
about it?
That's
what you mean. There's been a lot of discussions in the halls, informal discussions.
Clyde, has your finance committee seen anything like that?
No, we haven't, or I haven't. This is a big, big issue, much bigger than the state of Alabama. And if things go the wrong way, it would be pretty bad for us. But I'm optimistic that they'll be able to work through some of these issues in D.C. And I understand there's polar opposites on some of these issues, especially DACA and that kind of thing. But if they allow the government to shut down and a lot of these things to happen.